COP30, the Global Climate Summit. In the end, a deal was done in Brazil, but it was a fragile deal and not the one that many had hoped for. Delegates agreed to increase financial support for poorer nations dealing with climate change, but the agreement makes no mention of the need to end the burning of fossil fuels, which are the primary source of climate change. Instead, that was hived off into a voluntary roadmap, which falls outside of the agreement and has less force. Let's speak now with Mary Robinson, former President of Ireland, member of the Elders and climate justice advocate, who was in Belém in Brazil for the COP30 summit. Good morning and welcome to the programme.
Good morning, Justin.
The Irish government isn't happy with this deal. It says that it falls short of meaningful ambition on reducing the effects of climate change. What do you think of it?
Well, I was disappointed as well that we couldn't have an express building on Dubai, you know, phasing out or at least transitioning from fossil fuels. But actually, I've spent the weekend looking again and again at what was agreed, and I am more positive now. I'm more positive because there was the announcement of the informal, as you call them, roadmaps by the presidency of Brazil. Now, don't forget that presidency carries forward until November. And as it happens, there will be the first summit on trying to end fossil fuels in Colombia. You know, it's the initiative of those who want a treaty on the non-proliferation of fossil fuel. And a number of countries have signed on already. And I think that's going to create an added momentum with these informal roadmaps. Mm. In other words, there was a very robust discussion. There was total division, unfortunately, because the Trump administration's attitude towards fossil fuel, even in their absence, Saudi Arabia and other countries felt strengthened. So the debate was, you know, even more robust than it had been in previous, for example, in Dubai. But the momentum is there. And actually, can I just go through some of the positives? Because I'm encouraged by them. There was the launch of a global implementation accelerator. In other words, we're getting away from negotiations to accelerating transition. And this will work together with the action agenda. Now, the action agenda is increasingly significant. It was very evident in Rio with mayors and states, including a lot of states and mayors from the United States and from around the world, committing. And mayors of major cities are moving five times faster than their capitals.
Okay, but
phasing out.
But the key thing that is absent from this final deal is a mention of the need to end fossil fuel burning. As you say, it is part of a voluntary agreement signed by around 80 countries. Is it always going to be impossible to convince oil and gas and coal burning nations like coal producing nations like Saudi Arabia, like Russia, like India, the Arab countries? Is it always going to be impossible to convince them to move away from fossil fuels, which is the source of their wealth?
There are two things. Saudi Arabia could move tomorrow totally into clean energy. It's doing it locally in Saudi Arabia itself. It has all the technology. It has brilliant sun, brilliant sand, etc. It's making billions by exporting oil. It would make millions out of clean energy. You move from billions to millions, it's difficult. And for a lot of developing countries, among that 80, including some African countries, they feel that unless there's more on the side of adaptation. Now, there was a commitment to tripling adaptation, but there really is a sense that countries need to be able to afford the clean energy, to afford the transition. And that's one of the problems. But we are in a momentum. We're moving faster and faster towards all the huge investment is going into clean energy. China is cheapening all the time the access to clean energy. And, there was a real sense that although it didn't get into the formal text, it's the way that the COP is going, and it will be strengthened, as I said.
Okay, but do you think that those nations that produce fossil fuels, the Arab nations led by Saudi Arabia, Russia and India, that they can be convinced to move away from fossil fuels at some point in the future?
What will convince them is the fact that clean energy will become ever more cheaper, ever more reliable, with ever more battery retention, etc. And then there will be the impossibility of selling into markets that will refuse to accept fossil fuel. and that will increase dramatically. Even though, as I said, we didn't get it in the formal part of the thing, we got lots of other things. We fought hard and got a good gender action plan. We got a very good just transition mechanism, which civil society had fought very hard for. But in many ways, the COPs have always been a bit like this, messy, and we never get all we want. This was disappointing on the fossil fuel, but not as disappointing after reflection as I thought it was. What I'm trying to say.
Was the deal done, though? Was it done in a bid to save the process? Because there was a very bitter divide between those countries which want to preserve fossil fuel productions and those who want to move away from it. So was this a case of a bad deal which protects the process being better than no deal at all, which could have collapsed it forever?
It certainly was a deal to protect the process, and that is important because it's a process that depends on the Paris Agreement, which has achieved a lot. I mean, we were at a 4-degree warming world at Paris. I remember it well. I was the special envoy of the Secretary General. It was frightening, and we didn't know whether we'd get the agreement on the goal of staying well below 2 degrees and working for 1.5. We're now tipping up to 1.5. And actually, you know, the science is so serious now. We're at a real tipping point for the coral reefs, and we may be at an equal tipping point for the Amazon. We heard that with such authority from scientists. I'm one of the guardians of the planetary boundaries, and we were very, very active during the COP because the science was more evident than it's ever been. So what I'm trying to say is we didn't get what we would have liked to get, which was a formal mention of phasing out of fossil fuel. But we have an informal process that's robust, that has more than 80 countries behind it. We have a summit that's going to go even further, which won't have as many countries, but still the momentum is there. Meanwhile, the real market forces are that clean energy is becoming much cheaper, more reliable. It is the way to go. And we have these tipping points that we have to avoid. So the science is compelling now. In Paris, we were worried about sea level rise for small island states. We've gone beyond sea level rise now to potential loss of the coral reefs, to potential loss of the Amazon. You know, come on. And this is very much the urgency and will be the urgency going forward under the Brazilian presidency. So, you know, I'm kind of reassured by everything I read over the weekend. There's more robustness in it than I thought there was.
Okay.
I can work with that.
Mary Robinson, former President of Ireland, member of the Elders and climate justice advocate. Thank you very much for speaking with us this morning. It's 8:20. We'll take a break.